Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Ethan Weaver.
Commish, how we doing?
Doing good, my man. Doing good. We are quickly moving through the fantasy football season. I can't believe we're already talking about week 13 here on the daily fantasy front. It's insane that just how fast the season goes by, that we're already 3 months into it. And we're going to be at Christmas before we know it. So a lot to talk about here when it comes to daily fantasy in week 13. But before we do that, we're going to go back here in time just 1 week and talk about what we got right in week 12.
You like that?
And why don't you lead off here? Why don't you talk about what you got right last week?
Yeah, last week was a decent week. I wasn't on the pod last week, but I did send my picks in. And I benefited with my bullish buy, CMC, who had 33.9 points. So he obviously helped my DFS lineup. My pick six, I had Brandon Cooks, who had 17.2 at a cost of 4,500. And then I had the Cowboys defense, who had 16 points with a cost of 3,800. So not a bad week for myself. I know we had some pretty similar picks. So it was overall a good week for the boys.
Sure was a lot of agreement last week, and Aaron had Brandon Cooks as well and CMC. Those guys were in my lineup too. Jaden Reed for Aaron and I, he was $4,200, scored 14 points. Took a quick victory lap on that one. I kind of knew they were going to get him involved with some rushing touches, and they sure did with Aaron Jones being out. So it's kind of fun to watch it kind of play out for once exactly how you think it's going to. That doesn't happen enough. And then the lastly here, Dallas Cowboys defense just kind of crushed for us as well. $3,800 to get them into your DraftKings lineup, but they scored 16 points, which was great. And that's it. That's what we got for week 12. So let us turn the page here. We're going to talk about high profile players that you could drop into your DraftKings lineups this week. I know I know for a fact we're in agreement with this guy, and he's super expensive, but why don't you go ahead and tell me why you have Tyreek Hill as your bullish buy for week 13?
It's so hard not to have Tyreek Hill in your lineup in week 13. He's going against the Washington Commanders, who are ranked 32nd against wide receivers. They're allowing points at will to the wide receiver position. Tyreek Hill, as you said, is very expensive, with a cost of $9,600. So you definitely need to pay to put him into your lineup. But I just think, obviously, Tyreek Hill is matchup proof. He just scores the Jets for 9 receptions, 102 yards, and a touchdown. And I just think what he's going to do against the 32nd ranked Commanders defense is just worth that price point. He is averaging 27.2 fantasy points per game, which is number one overall. He has scored 8 games over 25 points out of the 11 that he's played. He's just a walking 25 points. I mean, you pay the hefty price, but you're going to get the production. Tyreek wants the receiving record, and I think the Dolphins are going to help him get there, and they're going to use this game to help that cause. I just think Tyreek Hill is going to get massive volume. He's already leading the league in target share with 33.7% and target rate at 36.2%. I expect big volume from Tyreek Hill, and I would not be surprised if he has a 35 fantasy point plus performance. He's just too good, and he's worth every penny.
Completely agreed. And for all the same points, I have him as my bullish buy for week 13. I mean, Mike McDaniel is a player's coach through and through. You can kind of tell, got that new school mentality, and what better way to connect with those players than to try to get a record like the receiving yards record that Cooper Kupp set a couple seasons ago. Why not have your guy Tyreek Hill try to do it? And it's not just lip service either. You mentioned his target metrics are off the charts good, and so they're backing that up with their actions as well. So Tyreek Hill is my bullish buy for week 13 too. Aaron gave us a little bit of a different approach here. He actually gave us two guys to talk about from the same game, actually. He has Christian McCaffrey as well as A.J. Brown in his lineup. So really expensive guys going up against one another. I mean, A.J. Brown, he doesn't need too much of a sell job. He's just, you know, great player and all that. You know, had that ridiculous run earlier in the season where he was had 125 plus receiving yards just about every week. It felt like CMC is a little bit sneakier, where he has a. If you just look at the DraftKings matchups, every time you put a player into your lineup, they show you what where the opponent ranks against that particular position. Philadelphia actually is number one in the league against opposing running backs when it comes to fantasy scoring. But Aaron isn't really turned off by that, one, because CMC is an absolute freak and can overcome just about any defense thrown his way. And two, Philadelphia as of late has not been quite as good defending running backs. They're giving up a lot more in the way of like different gap runs and things like that. So I think he's kind of looking at that number one ranking and thinking people are going to be turned off to CMC this week for that reason. And he's using it as an opportunity to get a high profile stud like a CMC into his lineup while paying a little bit less than you might have to normally, still paying up a big chunk of change to get McCaffrey into his lineup. But he's not turned off by that matchup at all. So what do you think about those calls? I guess start with McCaffrey and then give me your thoughts on A.J. Brown.
I will never argue with anyone trying to get CMC into their lineup. He's essentially guaranteed to score a touchdown every week, and I think he's going to be heavily utilized in this game. So I have no complaints about CMC, even though the Philadelphia defense appears to be ranked very highly against opposing running backs, but I think CMC is just matchup proof. And then AJ Brown's kind of had two down weeks. He got saved the touchdown last week. I do think he's due for a bounce back AJ Brown day. So why not do it against the San Francisco 49ers in the game of the week? So I don't hate those calls. They're great players, and I like betting on great players. So no pushback from me on those two.
Yeah, they're both great players in their own right. So I don't have too much to add either. These bullish buy categories, we really don't have too many, I guess, hardcore disagreements on, you know, if a guy is to qualify for it or not. It's usually the best of the best that we talk about, so we don't get a ton of disagreements. So on that note, let's just keep the train moving here. We're going to go to our two deep section. This is where we talk about defenses. Can't forget about those defenses down there at the bottom of your lineup. And we certainly don't on this program. So let's talk about who we're plugging in there. I'll start this one. I'm going with the LA Rams go at home against the Cleveland Browns. Costs $3,700 to put them into your lineup. The Browns, to say that they're a mess on the offensive side of the ball, it would be kind. You know, as we know, Deshaun Watson is out for the year. Last week they decided to roll with rookie Dorian Thompson-Robinson, or DTR for short. They went with him over the veteran PJ Walker. And sure enough, you know, DTR gets hurt out there in Denver, goes down with a concussion. Walker gets back into the game. He plays less than a half of football. He throws an interception and gets sacked four times. So whether it's DTR and back into the lineup this week or PJ Walker suiting up for the Browns under center, I really just want a piece of this Rams defense in there, because I just don't trust this team to move the ball at all without Deshaun Watson. In fact, in two games without Watson playing since his injury, the Browns haven't scored more than 13 points in a game. And it just gives the Rams themselves just give me enough flexibility to squeeze in some other high profile pieces into my lineup. I have Brandon Ayuk too that I'm paying up for this week. So getting him next to Tyreek Hill, I kind of had to cut a little bit of a corner on defense. They are still amongst the top five or so in the pecking order in terms of paying up for defenses, but I'm just targeting this Cleveland offense that I want to go against, especially in a home spot here for the LA Rams. So give me your quick thoughts on that and let me know which defense you're plugging into your lineup in week 13.
I always love playing defenses against struggling quarterbacks, and in the Cleveland Browns case, it's struggling quarterbacks, as you mentioned, with DTR and Walker. I think that's a nice call, $3,700. I think the Rams are going to probably have a field day, especially if PJ Walker's out there. Yeah, I mean, even DTR, he didn't play as bad as I thought he was going to. His first start after Watson came back, because I know he had a start earlier in the season. It was dreadful. So I know I was starting defenses against DTR when he was making that start, and it didn't go as good as I would have hoped. But I do think the Rams have obviously a great matchup against the Cleveland Browns with their quarterback situation right now. As you alluded to, they can't really move the ball and score points.
And it's funny, you know, we think it'd be PJ Walker or maybe DTR. I'm actually seeing some things here that Joe Flacco might also suit up for this game. If you forgot that Joe Flacco was in the league, I can wholeheartedly forgive you for that. You know, as it's been forever since he's done anything really of note in the league. So I'll just say confidently whether it's DTR, PJ Walker, Joe Flacco getting out there against this Rams defense, I'm gonna pull for Aaron Donald to have a field day in the backfield and sack whoever's under center there for the Rams. But I want to hear from you. Who were you rolling with this week on defense?
Yeah, no, Joe Flacco. Yeah, welcome back. I know he was probably sitting on his couch the last few weeks. I was actually kind of surprised the Jets didn't try to bring him back. I thought he wasn't that bad for the Jets. I mean, yeah, he's better than Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle, which leads me to into my defense, which is the Atlanta Falcons, who will be going up against Tim Boyle and the New York Jets. And I think anybody who saw that Black Friday game knows exactly why I'm picking the Atlanta Falcons. Tim Boyle cannot play, and he cannot run this offense. Their offense is completely anemic, and I think Atlanta has their way with them. I mean, the Jets' offensive ranks, most of this obviously is with Zach Wilson, which, as shocking as this may be, I think is a better quarterback than Tim Boyle. It was very hard to watch that game on Black Friday. But yeah, the Jets offensive ranks pass yards per game 31st, rush yards per game 27th, total yards per game 31st, and points per game is 30th. And Atlanta has the second highest run defensive grade according to PFF with a grade of 78.7. So I think the Jets are going to be forced to throw the ball, and I think bad things are going to happen with Tim Boyle under center. So I was pumped to put the Atlanta Falcons into my lineup at a cost of $3,400, which is slightly cheaper than your Rams at $3,700. I just, as I said, I like starting defenses against struggling quarterbacks, struggling offenses, and I think struggling is actually a nice way to put it if you're talking about the New York Jets.
Yeah, they're a mess. I mean, our whole lives really, the Jets have been a mess for the most part, and this year's no different. They're just it just you could just feel that injury from Aaron Rodgers in week one was going to permeate through the remainder of the season, and it sure enough it has. So I like the call. I mean, you want to start a defense against Tim Boyle, who was a hack in college, but he had a good workout or something one day, so he ends up in the NFL for like 5 years. I'll never understand that one, but you know, we know how much emphasis these guys like to put these teams like to put on these workouts. So for that, we get to go watch Tim Boyle again for maybe the remainder of the season, which is going to be a tractor pull in its own right. So totally in agreement on there. I consider the Jets, ended up going with the Browns, and actually Aaron, his pick for this week is also the Cleveland Browns. So a lot of good defense to pick from on the slate. You can't really go wrong with either. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that and see how it pans out. But let's keep it moving here, man. Let's get to the pick six category. This is the spot where we're kind of making ends meet. You know, sometimes you got to ball out on a budget, and that's what we're going to try to do here with some of these cheaper players that you can spend less on, but still get a bang for your buck in the fantasy landscape. So just give me your first pick six guy, and let's hear who you're rolling with here when you're saving a little bit of money.
I'm not sure if you have this player, but I would assume based on previous discussions and previous episodes, I think we may be in agreement on this player. I'm going to go Jaylen Warren at 5,400. He's going against the Arizona Cardinals, who just got shredded by Kyron Williams. I mean, Kyron Williams, like, welcome back. I really needed him on a couple of my fantasy teams, so it was nice to see him ball out, but I think Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris are good calls. I went with Jaylen Warren because I wanted the more explosive back who's going to get the targets and the receptions. Kyron Williams had two reception touchdowns against his defense this past weekend, and I think Jaylen Warren has a big day. Per PFF, the Arizona Cardinals have the worst run defensive grade in the entire league with a grade of 48.6, and I think the Steelers run all over them. And Jaylen Warren with a price of 5,400, I thought it was hard just to pass that up. I'm surprised he was that cheap considering how he's been playing. I know Najee had the better game last week, but Arizona just got scorched by the Rams, and I think the Pittsburgh Steelers can do similar things on the ground. So I was very excited to get Jaylen Warren into my lineup.
Yeah, I can tell you've been learning from our discussions from previous weeks regarding Jaylen Warren, and I'm glad you're taking notes because he is also in my lineup as you alluded to.
Easy so good, call. Easy call.
Easy call. Good paying attention on your part as well. So good for you. I had to fight the urge to not also put Najee Harris in my lineup too.
I know. I hear you. I was struggling kind of with that too. I also, you mentioned Ayuk earlier. I was really struggling not to put him in my lineup. So I like that call too.
I know you have to fight your phone every week to not put Brandon Ayuk in your
lineup. Oh, every week.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, I like Ayuk too. So we definitely have something going on that, but you know, back to the Steelers-Cardinals game here, you know, just I don't need much more of a sell job on Jalen Warren. You know, he's getting the passing down work. Kyron Williams eviscerated him last week. Last week was the first week of the post-Matt Canada era in Pittsburgh on the offensive side of the ball, and they just lean into this running game. The running backs for the Steelers last week saw 31 touches between Najee and Warren at almost an identical 50-50 split. So even if it's more of the same, we're going to see probably 15 to 20 touches for Jalen Warren. Something similar for Najee probably. Kenny Pickett is also a little nicked up here heading in. So even maybe a heavier dose of the run than we thought, you know, could be in store. So that's usually what these teams do when they have coordinator changes in season. They just simplify things. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers who don't have a, you know, solidified quarterback situation or an elite level passing game, the easiest thing to do is to lean into the running game. So I'm going to lean into Jalen Warren here. I'll probably have him on the betting front, be pretty active on him this weekend. So Kyron Williams paid off for me big time last week in the betting market. So I think I'm going to be doing more of the same with Warren and maybe even Najee too, but we'll see how that pans out. This second guy here, if you've been paying attention to the news that broke today regarding Jonathan Taylor, you're probably not going to be surprised to see Zach Moss in the lineup for $4,600. He's playing at Tennessee. Now the starting running back for the Colts for the next 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, if he's going to, looks like he's going to miss a couple games. So Moss could be a guy that's really helping push teams into the playoffs in the regular, you know, redraft or dynasty landscapes. But I want to play him in daily for that reason. You know, we saw what he was capable of earlier this year when given the volume in the early going when Taylor was holding out with a contract dispute. And, you know, that was particularly true in the first meeting between these two teams. That was actually Taylor's first game back, but he was still kind of getting ramped up, and Moss was the guy in that game. Moss ran all over this Titans defense for 165 yards and 2 scores, tacked on 30 yards receiving as well. So he's already ripped apart this Titans defense once. And I think people look at the Titans defense, they still think it's in some elite unit. They're more towards the middle of the pack in terms of giving up points to opposing running backs this season. So with the regression of the Titans defense, that team's kind of out of it at this stage. And Indianapolis is a better football team. I think they lean into Zach Moss here, and it pays off for fantasy managers who are able to get him into their lineup this week. So I know you're holding on to some Zach Moss in Dynasty, kind of wondering what to do with them. So where are you at on his matchup this week against the Titans?
I completely agree. I actually have him in my lineup as well, and I was debating heavily to talk about him in this episode, but I figured I made an assumption that Zach Moss was going to be talked about by either you or Aaron. Obviously, Aaron's not on today, but I assumed he was going to be talked about. So I figured I'd go in a slightly different direction, but Zach Moss is definitely in my lineup. And it's kind of crazy. I mean, who would have thought Zach Moss would be RB22 going into week 13. He's had a great year. And I mean, it kind of makes you wonder if the Colts are maybe regretting giving JT the bag, considering he's been in and out of the lineup all year. And Zach Moss has been taking the work and running with it. So it's always tough unfortunately for the running back position, it's always tough for these owners to pay them, because usually you can plug a guy in like Zach Moss and he does similar things. But I really do like the Zach Moss call, and he is in my lineup.
Okay, love that. Just agreement all over the place here. I always love to hear that. Let me toss out one of Aaron's pick six players here. Maybe I think we might get a little more traction on this one. Who knows? He's going $5,700 for a quarterback, and he's paying up cheaping out, I guess you should say, on Russell Wilson here. And you know, he's kind of buying into this Denver Broncos bounce back a little bit. You know, Russ has done a good job of, you know, more or less protecting the football and keeping the train on the tracks. He just thinks that he likes the matchup this week, and he thinks that Wilson's going to come through here for managers for $5,700. What are your thoughts on that?
I like the thought process to save some money at the quarterback position, but Russell Wilson hasn't scored over 20 points in a game since week four. So his ceiling is limited. I don't think all of a sudden against Houston, he's just going to go off. But I guess you never know. I mean, if this turns out to a shootout, maybe Russ turns back the clock a little bit. But I don't mind saving money. I went slightly cheaper at quarterback, and to me, I'd rather pay the extra $400 and start Brock Purdy against the Eagles. But I guess it depends how tight money was for Aaron. I don't hate the call just because of the simple fact that I think Russell Wilson does have a relatively safe floor of 15 plus points. And he has a cheap cost of $5,400. So hopefully the rest of his lineup is bolstered because of that. But I definitely see where his head's at.
Yeah. It's funny that you have Brock Purdy in your lineup because I do as well.
We have the same lineups.
Yeah. We talk way too much about fantasy football to the point where it annoys the crap out of our wives.
They love it, dude. Come on.
They do. They bought us these microphones and said, carve out time to talk to each other because we don't want to hear it anymore.
That is very true.
Objectively speaking, I don't think I can blame him for that, but here we are. And, you know, as far as the Russell Wilson call is concerned, I agree that it's not, you know, the highest upside pick in the world. So what I'll say is this. I mean, if you're playing at a cash game head-to-head against someone else and you went expensive elsewhere like Aaron did with A.J. Brown and CMC, I have no problem with this because you're just looking for that high floor to help you, kind of give you respectable production at the QB position while other players hopefully carry you to success elsewhere. So that's perfectly fine. I would not advise doing this in a tournament where you really need that high upside play. Wilson just doesn't have that big time, you know, huge production output that we've seen in the past. So I would stick away from him in those bigger, deeper tournaments where you really got to crush it everywhere. But really just depends on what type of DFS game you're playing. So I won't nail that one too much here. And while we're talking about Aaron Downtown Brown here, let's just go to his second pick six player that he has for us. And this is Josh Downs for $5,100. He's been targeted 13 times last week. And they get to match up here with this Titan secondary that we were kind of talking about a moment ago. At least they're on the defensive side of the ball. So what are your thoughts on Josh Downs here for $5,100?
I like the Downs call. He was actually in my lineup, and then I actually completely took him out. I love the 13 targets that he received. Unfortunately, he only caught 5 of them for 43 yards. So he was highly inefficient with those targets and obviously had a kind of a low A dot, considering he only had 43 yards. But I do like the target share, obviously. I mean, 13 targets, they always say, hey, targets are earned. So he's clearly earning targets. And Tennessee has a relatively weak secondary, so I think they can be gashed through the air. And Josh Downs, if he can keep that target share up, obviously he has a lot of upside. And for $5,100, I don't think that's a bad call at all. Like I said, he was in my lineup, and then I took him out, and he was actually a guy I was thinking about talking about on tonight's show. So I agree with Aaron. I like to follow the targets. He's earning them, so I like to call at $5,100 for Josh Downs.
Yeah, I mean, he earned them last week, certainly, you know, 13 of them, inefficient, like you mentioned. But, you know, if you rewind, just a couple of weeks, they were on the bye in week 11. Before that, it was only 3 targets against New England, and what was a competitive game throughout. Only 1 target against the Carolina Panthers in week 9. So the target volume here has been a little bit hit or miss. Well, I will say that he did have a good showing against Tennessee last time they played, where he caught all 6 of his targets for 97 yards. So if he can replicate that type of production, you're going to love it at the price point. So there is some precedent for him playing well against this Titans secondary. So I could see it. I'm kind of on a fence about it, this one here. So I guess when I'm on the fence about something, I lean into whatever will lead to better content. So if you two are on board with him, I guess I'll take the opposite side of it and say that I'm out on Josh Downs this week, even though I can follow your logic on it. And
all I was going
to
say is
any quick rebuttal to that.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to interject real quick for the New England game. I don't know if you remember, me and you were kind of laughing about it. Remember Josh Downs was on a minutes restriction, like he was in the NBA or something. So I don't actually know what he logged for quote unquote minutes, but he was, I believe he was a little banged up. So maybe that was the case for the down week, but he did make that nice play against the Patriots to eventually win the Colts the game late in that game. So, but
yeah, I must have been between my seventh and eighth beer at 10 o'clock in the morning, because that's the only way you could watch New England Patriots game these days.
Oh man. Yeah. Me and you were watching the game this past weekend, and I've never seen you so excited for a missed field goal to lose the game than you were this past weekend.
That's right, baby. Bring in the tanks, roll in the tanks. We're tanking.
I know. Hey, they're at the third pick right now. They need Arizona and the Panthers to start winning here.
Yeah, we can get a collection together and buy those teams a couple of wins here to close it out. So the Pats can be look at sitting pretty there at the number one overall pick. We'll be better off for it here, but we're not going to hijack this show with our path yeah. to the number one pick for our lowly Patriots talk too much. So Aaron leaves town for one week here, and we're all of a sudden we're just doom and gloom over here with the Patriots talking about the draft here. We'll have plenty more draft coverage down the road here as well, like we do every single year. So I guess we'll go back to you here. Do you have anyone else you want to talk about here in the pick six category?
Yes, for my second pick six player, as I said, I was debating between talking about Zach Moss, Josh Downs. I figured I'd change it up a little bit and go Curtis Samuel at a low price of $4,100. He had 12 targets this past weekend in a blowout loss against the Cowboys, but he had a very good day. He had 9 catches for 100 yards, and he seemed like he was kind of all the way back from that toe injury or foot injury. I believe he had. Samuel missed time in weeks 8 and 9. He missed like half the game in week 8, and then was out with that injury in week 9, and he was ejected in week 11 against the Giants. So this was kind of his first full game kind of back from that injury. And like I said, he had 12 targets, 9 catches for 100 yards. And now the Commanders are going against the Miami Dolphins. I think the Commanders are going to be down most of this game, probably all of this game. And this has the highest over-under on the slate with a 49.5. I think Sam Howell is going to have to do what he does best, and that's chuck the ball. He leads the league with 486 pass attempts. The next closest is Josh Allen with 433. And like I said, I think the Commanders are going to be chucking the ball. I think Curtis Samuel is going to get a lot of targets, and I think he has a chance to have a big day. And obviously we're talking PPR formats. So I'm hoping for big things from Curtis Samuel. I just think at a price point of $4,100, it allows me to pay up at some of the other positions. And I liked what I saw against the Dallas defense. I think he can do similar things against Miami, and I think he's going to be forced to. So I was happy to put Curtis Samuel in my lineup. What do you think?
I think he's been a sneaky, decent play here in a lot more weeks than we would have expected from a guy like Curtis Samuel, who's been around for a long time, a lot longer than people think. You know, he was in the league, came into the league in 2017, kind of bounced around a little bit here, but is settling in nicely with the Commanders. You know, he's kind of found a little bit of a niche there with Sam Howell. You know, Howell makes so many mistakes out there as well that it kind of just kickstarts the games into track meets, which is great for fantasy purposes. And could be a lot more of the same here this week. So I don't hate it at all. You need cheap exposure to what's going to be a high scoring game. So I got no issues with that at all on my end. And with that here, let's round in to our under the lights category. And in this one here, we have a matchup of the Dallas Cowboys. They're playing at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Dallas is a 9-point favorite, and the over-under per DraftKings Sportsbook is 46.5 in this one. And remember, both of these teams played on Thanksgiving, so this is a rare case of a Thursday night game where both teams are on a regular 7 days rest. And, you know, the Cowboys here, I'll just give you my thoughts here off the top. The Cowboys, one of the hottest teams in the NFL as of late, won 3 consecutive games by margins of 32, 23, and 35 points. Granted, those wins have all come against some of the worst teams in the league, but I think they do keep the train rolling here and come out on top with a win in this one. And I think they're also going to cover in the process, cover that 9-point spread. And Seattle, to me, they're just a team that's – they're technically in the playoff mix, but they just don't really have enough to ever be a serious threat. You know, Kenneth Walker's already been ruled out for this one. Geno Smith has struggled against good defenses as of late. So I think by and large, Dallas is just one of those squads that they beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, and then they lose to the truly elite teams. But Seattle's far from elite, so I'm happy to lay the 9 points on the Cowboys at home this Thursday night here. Those are my quick thoughts on the game, Ethan. How do you see this one playing out in Big D on Thursday night?
Not to agree on everything tonight, but I do agree with you. I think the Cowboys are going to roll the Seahawks. I just think the Seahawks aren't a very good football team right now. I think Geno Smith is starting to turn into a pumpkin, and I think the Cowboys roll, and I believe they easily cover that spread. So I'm in complete agreement with you this evening.
Well, attaboy then. Maybe we'll lather up on a little parlay on Thursday night, and maybe we'll drop that in the Discord chat as well. And if you're not currently a member of our Discord, well, you're definitely missing out on a great community there. Totally free to get into our Discord. We talk everything from, you know, dynasty advice to redraft advice, start sits, waiver decisions, all that stuff. And we also have a good betting thread going there too. So make sure you're checking that out on all of our social media platforms. We're on X at @Sunday_Surefire. We're on Instagram at @SundaySurefire. So just make sure you're following us on those sites, and then hop into our Discord as well. Always welcoming new members. Really a fun thing to be a part of. So make sure you're checking that out as soon as possible. But we, in addition to our weekly lineups that we just ran down, we also on DraftKings, we do a captain's lineup, where essentially how this works is, if you're unfamiliar, you get a 6-player lineup where you can pick any offensive player or a defensive unit, even a kicker. You can put 6 guys into your lineup, making a fit under a salary cap. However, there's a unique feature in these captain's games where you can select one player to be your captain for that week. They cost 1.5 times the normal cost against the cap, as another player would if they were not in your captain slot. But you also get 1.5 times the points for putting that player there. So you want to build it out in a manner in which where you think the highest scoring player in the game is going to be in that captain spot, so you can reap the rewards of those big time points, taking advantage of the bonus. But I'll throw Aaron's pick out here first, and you can react to that before we dive into your captain's pick, Ethan. In typical Aaron Downtown Brown fashion, it's been a couple weeks since we've done this, but he likes to go off the beaten path with these captain's picks from time to time. And he's rolling with none other than the Dallas Cowboys defense in his captain's line here. So he's thinking that Dallas is going to get another pick six or something, maybe a fumble, block kick, who knows, but he likes their chances this Thursday against the Seahawks team that's been rapidly regressing here. So give me your thoughts on his defensive call out as his captain, and then just dive right into your captain's pick.
I actually love that call. I had the Dallas defense as my captain, and I took him out at the last second. I guess I can't be as bold as Aaron Downtown Brown, but as we just talked about, I do think the Cowboys roll, and I think they make Geno Smith look terrible. So I actually really like the Dallas defense in the captain spot, because I do think they have a big performance. But I ended up going a little pricier. I'm just going to roll with the QB1 basically over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and that's Dak Prescott. I mean, since week 6, he's been a top 3 quarterback in every single game except week 11 at Carolina, which he didn't have to do anything anyways. He's been just scoring at will, and I think he continues that this Thursday night against Seattle, who isn't great against stopping the pass. They're ranked 22nd in pass yardage a game, and 25th in points allowed per game. So I do think that lends to a big night for Dak. And as I said, he's just been on an absolute tear since his bye in week 7. He scored over 30 points in every week, except as I mentioned, that down week against Carolina. He's coming off a 35.2 fantasy point performance against the Commanders. And I think he stays hot. It's just kind of crazy what Dak's been doing over the past 4 or 5 weeks. I remember in the offseason, Dak's stock was way down in dynasty startups, just in fantasy circles. And people were like, yeah, he's basically a back-end QB1, high-end QB2, who just doesn't have that top five ceiling anymore. And he's proven a lot of people wrong because he's been – absolutely on fire, and right now I believe he's like QB3 on the year. So good for Dak Prescott, and I think he keeps it rolling, which is why I put him as my captain.
Man, you and me gotta lay off the kumbaya here, because I have Dak Prescott as my captain as well, which is I mean, hey, if we really, maybe we could parlay all these picks here together and just root for greatness on Sunday.
Oh, we have to. Oh, hey, you know I need the help, so.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we can all use help in certain aspects of life, you know. I can barely turn a screwdriver, so I have you for that, and yeah. Maybe I'll keep helping you with some of these gambling picks here. So, but you know, yeah, I mean, let's keep talking about Dak, I guess, for a minute. You know, the last 5 week stretch that you reference here, he's QB1 overall on a points per game basis, thrown 17 touchdowns and just one pick over that span. So Dak is absolutely dealing. This is another team where Dallas should clean up on. Like I mentioned, they tend to do well in those spots against the, you know, either the mid-level teams or certainly the lower-level teams, as we've seen in recent weeks. So, you know, despite being up big in four of their last five games as well, Dallas has continued to chuck the ball. I mean, they threw that deep touchdown to Turpin towards the end of that game last week on Thanksgiving. Just, they didn't need to do that, but they did it anyway.
Run it up.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on, like they're lighting up the scoreboard at you know, whenever they can get the chance to. So, you know, that's, we love that for fantasy as well. You know, we love those shootout games when teams keep pace. But even though teams haven't kept pace with Dallas lately, they're still chucking up bombs here and putting those big numbers up on the scoreboard, which we love. And you know, I'm actually going to kind of stay on that theme here a little bit as we move into our hot takes segment. This is why I'm hot. And my hot take here is actually centered around one Dak Prescott, who we just gave a nice long standing ovation to. So I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to say he throws at least three touchdowns and Dallas wins this game by at least three scores here. So for betting purposes, let's call it a 16.5 point spread that the Cowboys will cover. And Dak also has, we'll say overall that he scores three total touchdowns here, whether it's passing, rushing, you never know what you're going to get with him. Three scores from Dak, however you can get it, and at least a 16.5 point spread that the Cowboys are going to cover.
I like it. I have Dak in a lot of places, so I hope that comes true. And I do think the Cowboys just dominate the Seahawks. I just think the Seahawks are not a dumpster fire, but they just – Geno Smith and that offense, I just think they're trending in the wrong direction. I think it's going to be ugly for them Thursday night. So like the call, and I will go into my hot take, and I'm going to piggyback off my bullish buy with Tyreek Hill. And I'm going to say he goes over 200 yards against the Washington Commanders. So big, big, big day for Tyreek Hill.
Always love to hear that from guys that I also have going places. So nothing wrong with betting against your bullish buy in a killer matchup. So I like that one too. You know, 200 yards is a big number. I mean, if I'm you, I'm tossing an anytime touchdown prop into that too, because, you know, if the man's going to run up and down the football field twice, like
he's probably going to find himself in the end zone.
He's probably going to make a trip to pay dirt is a safe assessment. So that's my quick little betting advice on that. You should do it. And Aaron also has a hot take for us, but he's not going to share it on the podcast here. Kind of a buzzkill, but he will be posting it on our Discord channel, which is awesome. So again, if you want to get access to Aaron's hot take, you should do that, because he also hit on his hot take last week here. We did not mention that in the Told You So's, but his hot take from a week ago panned out great. You know, he had a plus 1200 odds going in a parlay. If you took a Brandon Cooks, Christian McCaffrey, and Jaden Reed anytime touchdown score, it was plus 1,200 odds. So he cleaned up on that last week. So definitely want to make sure that, you know, despite how crazy Aaron Downtown Brown could get with some of his callouts, some of those hot takes that he pans out hit big, and you could win some serious money if you put a little bit of scratch on them. So make sure you check out our Discord. Again, they're pinned on all of our social medias. We're on X @Sunday_Surefire, and we're on Instagram @Sunday Surefire. So that's what we have for you folks here tonight. And Ethan, any parting words here for the listeners?
Just as you said, can't believe it's week 13 already. Thanksgiving has passed. Christmas is coming. The fantasy playoffs are almost upon us. So just trying to go into the last stretch strong and hopefully for our redraft leagues, get into getting those playoff spots. So it's going to be an exciting couple of weeks.
It is a nut cutting time for sure. I hear that. We are here to help as well. Again, very accessible on all those social media platforms. Feel free to reach out to us. We're very friendly, and we'll do our very best to help you win money just like we want to win money this season. And until next time, folks, peace.